B-Pod Studios.
So,
not a dummy.
Beetle. Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Play fake to Ramondre Stevenson. Mac Jones looks right, fires to the right side. Caught by Jacoby Myers at the 10 to the 5. Myers to the end zone! Touchdown! Patriots! There's a flag in the pocket.
Blatant.
For now, the Patriots celebrating a score.
Holding.
It will not stand.
Number 65. 10-yard penalty. Still second down.
Blatant.
James Ferentz called for the hold, nullifying what would have been the first career touchdown for Jacoby Myers.
Basically tackles him.
Yeah, Cowboys getting screwed, huh?
Can't do that. Cannot do that.
Yeah.
Quickly before the phones, I went back last night in the Seth Wickersham book because I knew there was a reference in there to fourth down plays. And I wondered, if Ernie Adams no longer being here in New England, if Bill hasn't had a guy to whisper in his ear when to go for it, when to look at that chart, when to go for it, what the situation is, the same type of chart that you have for when to go for two, when to go for it on fourth down. And there was, in fact, a paragraph in there that I remembered coming across in reading the book about Ernie Adams. And it said Belichick would ask Ernie Adams his opinion about whether to go for it on fourth down in a particular situation. Knowing Adams had read a paper by a University of California, Berkeley professor. The paper made a statistical case that rolling the dice on fourth and short wasn't a gamble, but rather a smart decision. Adams would often say, well, Bill, if you've got a good play, it irritated the coaches who wanted him to make a clear argument. There's also some other funny stuff in there about the coaches ripping on Ernie Adams, including Dante Scarnecchia always walking by his office and screaming at him to wake up.
That's Dante breaking balls, though. That's not Ernie asleep at his desk. Dante's a good ball breaker.
No, it says at his worst, Adams would doze off. And Dante would walk by the office and say, Ernie, wake up! Wake up! Let's go!
Was his office even around the coaches? I thought his office was upstairs, like in some closet. Remember they did the documentary and all those film things lined up?
It says Scarnecchia would stop at Adams' office and yell, wake up, Ernie! When Adams spoke, the coaches were often underwhelmed. Yes. They also used to insinuate that
Ernie, hot dogs, I heard,
Ernie,
huh? Well, who doesn't like a hot dog?
Did you read it? I sent you a picture of that little section of the book. I've got to pull it back up now and read that for you since Zoe referenced the hot dogs.
I used to eat a cheeseburger and a hot dog at halftime.
It says, on game day, the Ernie Adams experience was even weirder. He sat in the coach's box with a stack of notes and a direct line to Belichick's headset. Sometimes, Belichick would ask his opinion about a replay challenge, rule, or fourth down decision. Sometimes, Adams would claim to know what play was coming and would yell into Belichick's ear, it's cover two. It's a blitz. It's a run here. He was almost never right. Do your Ernie Adams. It's a blitz.
It's a blitz, Bill. I tried his up and his offense. His office, by the way, is not upstairs. It was downstairs.
You already got that text, huh? That is something. It says here, he was almost never right. At halftime, while the rest of the staff hustled to meet with players and prepare for the third quarter, Adams would wander around the locker room munching on a hot dog, maybe two. But he was the guy would have that ability to tell Bill to go for it. And Ernie was the guy who was studying the research papers from the guy at Cal Berkeley about how you should go for it on fourth down. And Bill yesterday just keeps punting it away on fourth and short, punting away his season, at one point having one of those punts blocked.
My favorite.
Good day, Bill.
My favorite Ernie Adams story of all time was we were on the road in Arizona to kick off the season. It was a Garoppolo first start out on, what was this thing? It was Sunday Night Football, right? So we got to Arizona, I think, on a Friday, a day before normal travel. And I remember being on the elevator with Ernie coming down, and he walks outside the hotel, and he's standing there, and he's looking up at the sun, looking right and left, like, hey, Ernie, what are you doing? I'm just deciding I got to take the walk. I don't know whether to take the left or the right out of the hotel here. He's like looking like the sun angle and that. Like, I didn't want the sun in the face. It's like he's looking at a punt. Like, well, was it going to get in the receiver's eyes? And he just stopped. He said, well, I'm going to go left. And boom, he takes off and goes left on his walk, a 3-mile walk. But he's like, Ernie does Ernie stuff. But who, I remember the Belichick documentary, you know, where he's sitting around and remember the whole, you know, Moss and Welker, you know, they take Randy off the top and then they come down on Wes underneath. What are we at? Anybody got any answers? They take them both out and nobody would challenge Bill. And was Ernie the guy that would challenge Bill? Like yesterday, Bill said, okay, we're going to punt it. Ernie'd be like, no, go for it. Does anybody upstairs have the balls that tell Bill in his headset? And, you know, when you're with someone for 40 years, you have the relationship where you can tell him anything. No, Bill, I'm looking at the chart here. It says go for it.
If you,
does
right.
anybody upstairs right. no, challenge Bill?
Right.
Does Josh?
Who's
does,
looking at the chart now?
Does Mayo? Does Steve? That does anybody? Who's the chart guy?
Who's
right?
the fourth down go for it or not go
is
for
it? Is
it
Patricia? Chart guy? Where's Patricia? Like, what's Patricia telling him? Hey, Patricia's telling him punt.
I'll tell you what Patricia's telling him. Whatever you think is good, Bill. Whatever you think is good, you do.
But that,
I would hope that McDaniels has to be the guy who does it. He says, Bill, come on, let's go for it. Let's do it.
Because you weren't.
He's the only guy who's had a consistent present on the staff for a long period of time, right?
Mac Jones was like 9-9 in the first half. Like they didn't run a ton of plays.
And he's the
you
offense.
You didn't have one play in your pocket there?
Right. He's the offensive coordinator, so he could say, Bill, come on, we got the play for this. Let's go. Let's go for it.
What's your must-have it play? Josh, you got your must-have it play. Give me one.
Very conservative. Very, very conservative. But let's go to Bailey in Pawtucket. Bailey.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
So real quick, at the beginning of the show, I think you played a clip. I think it was McCourty talking about the last play of the game, yep. how they were focusing on the tight ends. So that's pretty alarming for me because the last, I think it was probably the last 10 minutes of the broadcast in overtime, Romo was talking about how they were trying to set up the play action and run the deep cross to the other side of the field, and they ended up winning the game on that. So, like, why aren't their coaches in the booth or something, or coaches on the sidelines that are seeing that, being like, look, we got to watch out for that. Yeah. I'll listen to what you guys have to say.
Because you're over-situationally coached, if that makes any sense. Like, Devin's like, you know, we tried to guess what they were going to do. So it's what? In short, okay, they're going to the flat here. They're going to chip the tight end, or something showed them in that formation. Hey, there's this personnel group in the huddle. Okay, they got the both tight ends, and that means they're going to rub route one of them, and they're going to try and get one in the flat. And that's what they were trying to do. But the problem is you got an MVP quarterback in, and I think he's your leading candidate for MVP, Dak. He extended the play, hung on to the ball longer, and Lamb threw the hand up, and that's two guys making a play right there from the backside. Lamb's not your first read. That's not a setup. They're trying to get the ball in the flat, first down. You take it away, they made a play. But with no safety help. You put Jalen Mills in a tough spot. Outside leverage, no safety help. And CeeDee Lamb running the whole field to run across.
Scott and Gardner. Scott.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, Augustine.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
How's your buddy Jim Nance?
Huh?
How's your buddy Jim Nance?
It's doing great, considering he has to work with Romo, but.
Wow. What do you got, Scott?
I wish they would take any coaching duties away from Steve Belichick. Because I think he stinks.
I mean, I think it ultimately reflects back on Bill more than anything else. Because anything Steve has learned, it came from Bill.
This is
what you get when you just hire your kids.
That's fair.
You know, I want to blame Bill more than I do want to blame Steve Belichick.
Well, I think the problem, too, in that game winner, I think Judon was in coverage. That guy should never be in coverage. That guy should be one way, and that's going forward to get the quarterback. He's your most disruptive front guy. And I know you're trying to dupe them and, okay, we're going to slide protection this way, but then, oh, we're going to fold them. We're going to drop them. That's the over-coaching part of it. Do you think Randy Gregory is going to be in coverage, or are they just going to turn that guy loose?
You're going to turn him loose.
Yeah.
I would say there's been only one year that I can remember where a defensive coordinator got a lot of credit. And it wasn't Bill who was getting credit. And that one time that happened, it was Brian Flores. Because there appeared to be a distinct change in the aggressiveness of the defense. That was the one time that I can remember in the 20 years of Bill Belichick that you, when the team was playing well and the defense was playing well, that you gave credit to anybody other than Bill. Right? So that's just to say, for the most part, when anything has gone well with this defense in Bill Belichick's tenure, Bill's game plan, and Bill gets the credit. So now that things are going south, you put it on Bill. You do. Steve Belichick is a symptom of Bill's problems, not the cause of it, is what I would say. He was empowered by Bill. He was taught by Bill. It's Bill's kid. Daddy gave him the job. That's why he's there. So let's blame the right guy. Let's blame Bill Belichick for that. That's what I would say. He's gotten all this credit for all these years. Now you got to put the blame on him. Nobody else. You could say that Steve Belichick's a problem, but why is he a problem? Because Bill put him there. That's why.
Like, who's making the final call? Do you still not know that on defense? Like, go back to like where it was him and Mayo, and remember when they would come together?
Does it matter? If you're blaming the right guy, what do I care?
Well, no, because if he's really making the call, then you have the right guy to go to. I mean,
if it's Steve or Bill, I'm still putting it on Bill.
Okay.
Because if it's Bill who made the final call, it's on Bill. If Bill's letting Steve make the final call, it's on Bill. It's Bill either way. Bill's to blame. Blame the right guy. Go to the top.
But when they started with the combo with Mayo and Steve, they would huddle with Bill after every series.
Don't you feel like Mayo's become less of a factor?
I do.
I think
that's why I'm asking. But I don't know.
I think he's getting pushed out in terms of leading the defense. Tanner and Warwick wanted to actually bring that up about Jerod Mayo. What do you got on that?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey.
I just wanted to piggyback off what you guys were saying. Do you think that maybe Bill is too prideful to give Jerod a shot to at least run it, or you think it'd just be more the same?
Well, how's his kid going to become a coordinator and head coach on his own, you know, if he doesn't have sort of the responsibility given to him? I don't think it's pride. I think it's just straight desire. Desire for Steve Belichick to succeed. That's what I think it stems from. It's not about personal pride.
But then it's also knowing your personnel. Like, why is your number one pass rusher dropping in coverage? Like, that's...
I don't know. I'm sure Bill will tell us.
That's like taking your best corner and like...
Just ask him in a press conference. He'll give you a good answer on it.
He's Sarcastic Monday, we could call it. A lot of names for Mondays now.
Well, he was asked this morning if he had considered going for it on fourth down and overtime. He said, not really. And to say you didn't even consider it, well, that just tells you the mindset of the team. No balls. And they'll just continue to lose games to good teams. And let's hope they beat the bad Jets next week.
Oh, God.
Yippee! Oh, win against
Jets. That's the thing that scares the hell out of me with this team, is the environment. What is that environment, 1 o'clock against the Jets, going to be as opposed to what it was last night or against Tampa? And we know what it was in Houston. Half-empty stadium. What'd the team do? They came out flat. Next thing you know, it's 22-9 in the blink of an eye. Don't let that happen next week at home. Oh. Like, that's where it could get unruly. You're 2-4 and you come out flat against the Jets and not take care of business.
Look,
you better take care of business next week.
That's what sucks about that loss yesterday. You pull out a win.
3-3, now you're rolling.
You're back at 500 and you have a win against a good team.
Yeah, win streak.
You start looking at next week and said, you know what? It's nothing for nothing, but we're going to be 4-3. We're going to be 4-3 after the Jets, and now we have a season again. Instead, you're 2-4, and you're wondering, can you beat anyone? Like, really? Week in and week out? You think so, but it just changes the outlook for the next couple few weeks minimum.
Read and React is coming up at 11:36. We will get into things beyond just the Patriots. When that happens, on the Sundays at 12:50 today, we'll get to more of your thoughts on the game and the state of the Patriots next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Patient. You want to talk sports in Boston? You talk to these guys.
I'm just going
to
say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zorak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jones on the drop back. Throws it to the right flat. Caught by Stevenson on the run with the juggle. One-on-one. Works his way across the near sideline. Close to the first down marker. Steps out at the Dallas 49.
Josh McDaniels.
Going against Golston there.
Josh McDaniels is trying to do everything he can to help this kid out. You're in two tight end. With Jakob Johnson split out with Gunnar Olszewski, the other receiver in the game.
In an offset.
And they're completing balls to Stevenson, a rookie, for 3 yards to set up third and one after the penalty at the beginning of this drive.
And Gregory almost got to Jones right there from the blind side again. They got to find a way to
throw
block
a screen
Randy
to his
Gregory.
Side.
Tight set here on a third down and one. Ball in the single back, hands on knees. Jones under center. Surveys the defense, turns and gives, and Bolden goes nowhere. He's brought down for loss. Schroeder midfield. Fourth down and two.
Jonnu Smith didn't block anybody.
And he got some extra pushing and shoving after the play. So third down and one. They gave it to Bolden. Drop for loss.
Should have done more of the pushing and shoving during the play.
I like it after.
Like get in your face. I get in your face.
Guys, do it before the whistle. Not after the whistle. Drop for a loss. And as you said, they tried to do everything to help Mac Jones in that situation.
You brought in three tackles several times in this game. Where you're running Kajust on after he got taken out at tackle to just simulate an extra blocking tight end. Did Kill Harry get any targets yesterday? Did he show up on a stat sheet? That's your first round pick.
I don't know what's left to say about that guy.
I
really don't know what is left to say. With just under 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, a second and five play with N'Keal Harry unable to figure out where the hell it is he is supposed to line up. Mac Jones starts yelling at him to get his ass in motion.
Second and five.
Born at the bottom.
You got a motion.
Harry in
the
slot.
Take a time. Motion there. Snap it. Snap it.
Not going to be a time.
You could see the frustration. You could hear it in Jones. So there's your 23-year-old quarterback dealing with everything that's thrown on him. Knowing when everybody's supposed to go, and it's crunch time, and just the wherewithal or not understanding what the magnitude of the play is. What do I do? Do I go motion? Is that because maybe you've been out or you're not repping enough or you're not included in that first set? Like, what's the indicator when he comes in the game with Olszewski and those guys? You think they're throwing? No, they're sending him in the block. That's like my Bolden point. Like, you're trying to send Bolden in the block, but then you're trying to fool the defense because, oh, we're not going to throw it. We're actually going to give it to him. And here's the mindset of the quarterback. If I'm standing out there and you send that personnel group in, you're not going to say anything because you're not a 20-year veteran. But you know when you see number one come in the huddle, like, give me Aguilar, give me Bourne, give me Myers, give me my guy. Give me Jacoby Myers. At least I'd rather throw the ball to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what you're processing as the quarterback. Like we're restricting ourselves here with this set. Like, and I know you're trying different things.
So, at least on that drive, with N'Keal Harry making those mistakes, they were able to score.
I give him this. And I do. I mean, he's physical in the run game. He has no problem trying to take a safety's head off or a linebacker. Hines Ward did in his day, too.
Yeah.
Julian Edelman did that, but those dudes caught balls, too. You've got to have more to your game than just that. He's too, like I said, I walked down underneath. There's CeeDee Lamb and Fulham. I'm like, Jesus, this guy looks like a player. N'Keal looks like a player. When you walk by him, he looks like a player.
That's great. He can block.
Yeah.
That's great. There are a lot of guys who could do just that.
I get it.
Just have to be big and strong. You just put a receiver's number on him. Not that that's really a thing anymore, but just...
Well, the one's a cool thing.
Make him look like a receiver. Yeah. By the way, Matt Dolloff, 98.5thesportshub.com. Plenty of post-game coverage on the website today. Had this tweet. Patriots ran a season-high 17 plays and 22 personnel. Three of them with an extra tackle. Maybe think of this as you mentioned the extra tackle. They averaged 5.8 yards per carry in those groupings Also on the touchdown on that drive in the fourth quarter, Gadjusted reported in as the third tackle there.
That's a pretty good number.
Being eligible. They average 5.8 yards a carry in those groupings, gradually moved back toward 11 personnel as the game went along. And Bill Belichick had this to offer. He said, when you go into the game with an alternative group, it's not like you go in there with 25 plays. The shelf life on it doesn't last forever.
But, like, I don't assist coaching kids. Like, we got a lot of plays we'll run, right? We got this big script. But if I got something that's working in that game, you know what I'm going to do? I'll call the play again until you stop it.
Use it until it doesn't work.
There's nothing wrong with being repetitive if something works.
Well, Bill this morning said shelf life. You can't live out of those looks for as long as you like.
How many times can you run James White offset to Brady in the gun? Brady does this, throws the hands up in the air like it's going over his head, direct snap to him, and he gets what?
Well, they keep running this wildcat Mac Jones goes out wide play.
Guess what?
They really like that.
They're going to have another option off of that because teams are going to start to shut that down.
It's the same play every time.
It's the same play. It's that drop step. They did it with Newton, right? Didn't they do it with Cam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the same play. What? Teams are going to know what that is.
They got to be setting it up for something down the road.
Right? I hope so.
That's what I'm saying.
I hope it changes at some point.
Is he ever thrown? Like, I got to.
Jim is in Virginia. Hey, Jim.
It's going to be a pop pass at the time. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Guys, this game was lost because of Aguilar and Bourne. Aguilar dropped that ball. If he catches that thing, he's wide open. He's looking around. Who's going to hit him? He's afraid to go over the middle. He's afraid. Edelman, he catches that ball. Myers.
Edelman has dropped numerous plays like that over the middle on that quick slant.
Not wide open like that.
Yes, he has.
Jacoby Myers was wide open last week on what could have been an important play, and he dropped one.
That's the problem. Aguilar and Bourne.
Yeah, he's got the drop
60 balls. You throw the ball to them, and it's a flip of a coin whether or not these guys are going to catch it.
Bourne doesn't drop many. He didn't have opportunities yesterday. He didn't play till the second half. I said this during a broadcast. I said, I'm looking down. I'm like, I had to catch myself. I'm looking at, like, he's not inactive, right? Yeah, there's 84 on the sideline.
Was he targeted on any play prior to that catch?
No, one catch, one target, 75 yards.
Thank you. I'm like, I don't think he had a single ball thrown his way.
Nope. I don't understand that one.
It wasn't part of the game plan for the first half yesterday.
See, and they'll do that where I think you psych yourself out to, like, okay, we have them on this matchup, this grouping. Like, okay, we go against Tampa, we got to sit Bentley down. He's a healthy scratch. Like yesterday, we gotta get Joe Juan down because he had a bad game last week.
Brandon in Boston's on the line. Brandon, how you doing? Yeah, he's not
Brandon?
There.
Yeah.
The first thing I wanted to ask him about was Jabari Parker getting waived by the Celtics. I figured that was probably real tough news for him to take over the weekend. What did that happen this morning, last night? I saw that. You know, Jabari Parker was a big name that he wanted them to acquire, right, and they eventually did. But he definitely had something on the Patriots, too, about it being about coaching and not talent. We'll pick this conversation up on the Patriots and everything's going on after we get to read and react. That is coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
To date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you smelled
it. You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's time to read.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. 20 points for Giannis.
And react.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Now you have
Holy
to say
Jesus.
It. I thought it was fake, too.
With Solak and Bertrand.
The ass. Can we talk about the thighs?
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
To read and react.
I was wrong about Kendrick Bourne earlier. Real quick here. What? Real quick here from Alexander on the email. He's right. We said Bourne was only targeted on the 75-yarder. Yeah. It went off his hands the play before on the pick six. Oh. So, two targets.
Oh.
That's on me. It's on us. Yeah. Oh. Forgot. I like to forget about that one.
All right. You want to go to Read and React here, boys?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Read.
Get going. It is on.
React.
Browns got blew out by the Cardinals 37-14. Baker Mayfield hurt his already injured left shoulder. He was in a sling at the podium.
Oh. Oh.
He was asked about it. Here's what he said.
First off, how are you feeling when your arm's in a sling? How bad is it?
Feels like
oh.
Oh, well, that...
he's a little bit smarmy.
Oh, prickly.
Tiny bit.
A little prickly.
But yeah. I respect the swag. I mean, I don't know. I like him. A little prick. He's a little prickly.
A little owly, as my grandmother used to say.
Boy,
owly.
A lot of people pumping the tires on Cleveland, and they sort of hit a rough spot here.
Frankie. Don't say prick. Bad
boy. OBJ hurt his shoulder. And I get he's been dealing with a labrum, and now all of a sudden he said last week he's not having fun anymore.
Oh, well, he should retire.
Starting to fall apart a little bit in Cleveland, huh?
A little bit.
617-779-0984.
But speaking of Schwaba.
Don't tell that number.
React.
Four. You've had it happen before. Was it a four, though?
I can't remember.
All right, Raiders overcame a rough
C's text next.
C's text.
Sweet take somebody text.
That was the all-timer. Raiders had a rough week.
Did they?
Yeah. John Gruden, he left. I don't know if you heard about that. But then they go and beat the Broncos in Denver, 34-24.
Good road win.
Under their interim head coach, Rich Bisaccia?
Close enough.
All right. So, how was the first game there, coach?
Does it come into you, what just happened and what you would talk about?
Who keeps leaving the questions at the beginning of these? Is this Tom or is this Tyler? I want to know once and for all.
Because you can't hear it. If you can hear the question, it might be worthwhile.
Yeah. Who is it?
I attempted to raise the both of us.
At
me.
You attempted what?
Tom's covering for me. I poorly raised the levels.
And this is on me, too. I could listen to him and clip him ahead of time. But maybe the three of us can get together.
You can pull it up not 2 seconds before the segment.
True. Right? 100%. Oh, 100%.
Oh. Read and react.
All right, so maybe now the inaudible question is done being asked, and now we can hear the answer. Raiders interim head coach on his first game, the win in Denver.
No, the best part for me was to be able to get on the grass. I mean, the worst part for me was figuring out the headset. And so once you get on the field and the game goes, and a lot of my responsibilities were the same, and again, it was really good dialogue between myself and Ole and myself and Gus and I'm talking to Tim about game management upstairs. So, again, it was really collective effort going through the game.
They'll probably win the Super Bowl. We overthink these things to death. Here's a guy whose biggest problem is figuring out the headset. Watch that team will, at the very least.
But the headset's not easy.
Yeah, that team will probably go to the conference championship at the very least.
People make fun of him for saying that. Oh, he's going to figure out the headset. He's trying to be funny. No, it's actually like a two-way headset, and there's a lot of traffic on it. And you got to... I love how Bruce Arians just straps it to the front of his chest. Anthony Lynn?
I know.
Anthony Lynn was a catch coach for
how many times?
He couldn't figure it out ever. Like, he was always looking, where is it at? Is it here on my hip? I'm pressing it. I'm not. It's not
easy. I'm really proud of him for getting that figured out.
See,
strapping it on.
There you go.
Figuring out how to use the buttons. That's good.
Three.
And you lose that way, it's tough. You know, you don't want that for them.
React.
Shut up, Dan Campbell. Done.
0-6. Do you know the last time they were 0-6?
Yeah, the year they went
2008.
They went 0-16. I know. And he played tight end for that team. I know.
He cried last
week.
They break
anyone's kneecaps yet?
No, they bit a few toenails. They're still way down on the turf.
I can't believe I said all that stuff preseason and where to eat kneecaps and be the giant slayer.
Ravens had no problems with the Chargers yesterday.
And they steamrolled.
They look good.
34-6. John Harbaugh was asked about whether the league is starting to take note of his team.
Do you think this score today?
There's the question. Good.
Raise some eyebrows around the league.
Yeah, probably. Probably. It's okay with me. We like raising eyebrows, in a good way. So we're happy about that.
What's that even mean?
That
He can't help himself either. It's an organization built on rock solid foundation, right? Just salty earth. Hey,
what does this game say more about? Does it say more about the Chargers. Ravens or more about the Chargers? I'm with Hardy. It says way more about the Chargers. I thought they were good.
I never thought the Ravens were bad. I know a lot of you guys sold on Lamar Jackson a long time ago.
No, I don't think they're bad in the regular season. I think they can have a great regular season, and they will again lose in the playoffs.
Last year you thought they were bad, and Lamar Jackson was done.
Chargers don't know what they are yet. Like, they got a lot of talent.
I think you can win a lot of regular season games with Lamar Jackson.
I don't remember you saying that last year. I keep receipts on Lamar Jackson.
He's pretty clear in that. Postseason.
I do.
Would you rather have Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott?
Dak Prescott.
Well, Dak Prescott.
Okay.
But Lamar Jackson, I still think a lot of people had written him off, I feel. And I'm like, that kid's just got too much raw talent.
Those are two of the I say leading candidates for MVP right now. Jackson and Prescott.
Three.
When I'm out there at practice, I look over and Stephen Belichick's face is going.
React.
Finally in London.
Maybe he had peanut butter on the roof of his mouth.
You're ready for more questions, by the way.
Oh, good.
I just wanted to warn you.
Oh, my God. Hardy's head might explode.
No, you know what? I'm going to.
Don't be. Here's the thing. Just don't be repetitive. Just play the sound clip.
Jags got their first win in 20 games on a last-second field goal.
Hello.
And the Dolphins, in the meantime, dropped to 1-5 on the season. So
did one of us take the Jaguars in this game? Or was it Miami?
That was RJ.
Oh.
Guys, not really.
All right. So,
did you throw anything in his face about the week before on Friday?
An entire rejoin.
Excellent.
He was not happy.
Really?
Not happy.
He goes, guys, we're not going to replay things from like the last 5 years when.
And I even tried to walk it back. I said, it's not so much about us going after you. It's us puffing our chests out because we finally hit one after 2 years or however long it's been. It sounded like it was more of an attack on me, but that's okay. That's okay.
Let this one slide until next time.
I ask people to judge me not on my winners, but on my losers because I have so few of them. Here we go. Here's Tua, dejected after the game.
You generally assess your bit.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't matter how I perform today. We lost. I mean, it's tough to kind of critique how I performed or how any of our guys performed. Right now, it's tough in the locker room right now. So, we'll take a look at that when we get back to Florida, and we'll take those corrections and learn from them.
Wow.
Long trip back to Florida from London. I mean, that's a long, long flight. But this is why the Miami Dolphins ran on Deshaun Watson. There's a reason for them.
You tweeted out yesterday. You said they need to go get Deshaun Watson.
I know there's everything that comes with it, but that guy changes your team.
But
I know there's a lot of stuff in the air.
They have been the four, at the forefront. They're the leader to acquire him.
Mm-hmm.
Why would Houston make that trade now and give the Dolphins some wins potentially that they otherwise wouldn't have between now and the end of the season and damage the stock, the picks, that is, and make those picks.
Until around draft time next year. I get it.
Right. I mean, they're not going to do it. They just say, no, call us in the offseason.
Just start taking calls now. Like, hey, I'm starting to get interest from teams again. Mm. What do you got, Miami? Well, it's Nick's job to do that.
Well,
I'd do it.
On the other
side, it's not going to save their season, though.
I get it. But they need to start figuring out what they, because if you're building that foundation and, Brian Flores has really cleared out the guys that he doesn't want and they do have some talent, you got to have the guy to pull the trigger.
Yeah, but you can figure, I think you can figure it out at the draft next year.
Yeah.
When Watson's going to get moved anyway.
See, I love how people react to it, too. So I put that out like, hey, they got a good look. Well, he's the guy, too, that beat out Mac Jones, your guy stinks more. I don't know if that's even relative. That was at Alabama.
By the way, other side of that game, Urban Meyer, watching the game-winning field goal,
Yeah, he came over and I said, come here, quarterback. Let's watch this young kicker try to drill a 53. I think it was a 53-yarder. And he said, coach, we're going to win this regardless. And that's, I get to coach a guy like that. That's kind of cool.
Oh my God. Inspiring.
I'm gonna run through a. I'm gonna run through a wall for that guy. I'm gonna run through a wall for that guy.
He's such a clown. Well, now he's just gonna start kissing players' asses.
Yeah.
Is that gonna be his plan now?
After I threw him under the bus.
Suck up to these guys.
After I threw him under the bus for his bachelor party.
Give me a break.
Good. All right. Good.
Idiot.
That's it.
Breathe. Why you call that artisan bread? Because it's made with your hands.
React.
By the way, quick mention of another game yesterday. I don't think we'll get to this at any other point today. Rams beat the Giants 38-11 yesterday. Does Joe Judge survive the season in New York? Does he make it?
What's the record now?
1-5.
Yes. I think he makes it.
Then T-Bone, what's funny?
Mares will make a decision in the offseason.
We come back here.
Oh, Jesus, T-Bone.
Special teams.
Turn your mic off.
Oh, my God.
So you bring back Patricia, bring back Judge.
Yeah.
Who else out there?
Who replaces him in New York if he gets fired after the season?
Bring back anyone you want. Just get Dante Scarnecchia back to it. That's fine. You can bring back everybody else.
That's the outlier. He's right.
That's all. There just could be a job opening with the New York Giants following this season. They could be in the market for head coach this offseason.
Did we have the Rams in that game?
I'm not sure. I wasn't here.
Or the Giants. Did we go the other way on that?
I took the under.
Did it
what
come
was
in?
The final score?
Zoe actually was just barely. He barely missed it. I think it was like by a point.
Half a point.
It's amazing what Vegas does. It really is.
How do they get it
to like the damn, like, I don't get it.
Vegas took a bath yesterday afternoon.
I saw Liv
the favorites were winning left and right.
Liv Schatz said covering. It was a bad day.
How do we do? What happened? I don't even know what happened.
Well, Beetle lost early.
I took Miami -3, and we were safe. I thought we were going to push there.
And I had the under on the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, I know me and Tom hit. Give me one second on you, Hardy.
All right, you figure that out.
Chiefs and Washington.
617-779-0985. Coming up next hour, Chase Winovich is scheduled to check in on a Milk Monday. Sounds a Sunday at 12:50. Your calls along the way. Also, Red Sox continue the ALCS. That Game 3 happens at Fenway. We'll get into that a little bit today as well, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
So do I.
I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nowhere to run to. I thought this was Supreme. Hey, baby, it'll be all right.
Well, anyone who is going to enjoy the rejoin is now not.
Yeah, they are. What do you got there?
We're going to do a giveaway in the next couple of minutes. That's what we're going to do, but I don't want to break the phones.
Okay. They're almost broken now.
So we'll do that in a minute. Don't call.
Get loaded.
I'm going to close the phones right now. They're closed. So those who are on the line, we're going to talk to you. Okay? Good idea?
Sounds great.
I think it is. Nick in Hingham. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. Hey. I just want to know where the mistrust is coming from. Is it Belichick? Is it McDaniels? Like, they're closing the field to 10 yards. They're not giving him a chance to throw past 10 or 15. And is that just because they think he can't, or is it the weapons? Like, where is this coming from?
Okay, so any ball that's been thrown that you've seen him throw, whether in camp, whether in preseason, or during the regular season, when has there been a bad ball over 15 yards?
Well, I would say going back to last week, there were some that were...
The one down the right sideline, right?
Yeah, nearly intercepted. And they weren't great passes. Mac Jones.
Oh, the one down the middle week, when he got...
This is the big Gasper thing about how you disagree with Mac Jones about how he had bad throws the week before. And I said, yes, I do.
Well, Gasper's going to die on that island.
Man, I don't know what's going on with Gasper right now, but holy crap.
Is he
involved in some tweet beefs? Some
take committed, boy.
Radio beefs. He's involved in something, man. I don't know what's going on with him.
I respect the take commitment. I do. He's got a hill, and he's going to die on that hill. Everybody dies on a hill.
He's doing a lot of tweeting. He's become a serial tweeter. That's not his MO, but it has become that.
Does he have too much time on his hands then?
It's got to be. It's got to be that new TV gig. He feels like he's got to do more writing or something, and so he's using Twitter as the outlet.
No, it's a form of expression. Yeah.
He's in a beef with Bedard.
Oh, that's a good one.
I haven't heard any of that yet. But
I haven't either, really.
Bert Breer said yesterday in the pregame hit, he said, I'm not going to report a murder, but I'm not going to deny that one occurred on Friday afternoon. That's what he said about Gasper on Bedard on Friday.
I didn't hear it.
Oh, yeah. He said that in the middle of pregame, and it was it was not a discussion point, and Bert kept going back to it. Bert just wanted to talk about it. Just wanted to talk about the beat.
Typical Bert.
Yesterday, Gasper telling Sozi, don't worry, I'm not offended by you liking tweets that were back against Chris on Twitter.
Oh, that was
pushed back from Giardi.
Oh, last week on the bus. That's right.
Was there something going on there too?
Coming out of Houston, he was.
Bob
looks at me and goes, "Gasper's going after me."
I can't keep track of all the people out there that Gasper's beefing with, but
Gasper's got receipts, man.
Apparently, but the debate that I continue to have with Chris is that I'm okay with Mac Jones taking his shots deep and there being some mistakes or potential picks or anything like that. And he was barking at me that he was 4 of 17 on those plays down the field. And then how could it be that it was the receiver's fault on all of the incompletions or on all of the plays, period?
The scary thing is, just based on what I've seen, Jacoby Myers is the only guy that I think goes up and fights for the ball. Or can elevate. You know what I mean? In traffic. Talking about the catch radius again. Going off what Dallas did yesterday. Throw it up to Wilson. Throw it up to Lamb. Those guys are going to go get it. And it's tough on Bourne because the opportunities aren't there. I don't want to sit here and rip Bourne for not. I mean, you had two targets. That guy's got to get more targets. I think he's got some speed to him, obviously. How's he not more involved? I think that's fair to question. That's all. I mean, when you're struggling outside and you get a young kid, you're looking for Arsenal, man. You want some more weapons. How do you not question that? You looked at that and said, okay, Nikhil's going to be a big part of this game plan. Wow, it's Cowboys coming in. It was a shootout. You got involved in a shootout with the Cowboys. You didn't want that. You didn't want to do that, but it ended up happening.
I really hope this doesn't break the phones.
What do we got?
I'm crossing my fingers that we don't lose our callers that are currently on the phone lines.
Is this how good this gift is?
No, it's just that anytime you run a contest now, the phones crash and they break.
Yeah.
So we're going to do this anyway, though.
Good luck, Country Cafe over there.
Caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 No Bull gift card. The training gear Mac Jones wears. No Bull, a brand for those who work hard and don't make excuses. So stop making excuses today. No moral victories for the Patriots. No Bull gift card right now on the contest line.
No Bull shoe.
You've got No Bull shoes on?
No Bull right there. These are No Bull.
And you certainly didn't pay for those, knowing you. You don't pay for anything. 6-1.
Wear that and TB12 at the same time?
Is that allowed?
He needs to
keep... I don't remember Brady ever sending you shoes.
I need a package. I've been waiting on something.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah, he better step up.
617-931-0985 is the Pride Motor Group contest line. Call that number now to win. Right now, we're back in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.